Hello, I'm Jay. Welcome to Accountable. I don't know why I've adopted this voice, but for some reason I can't stop talking like I'm giving some sort of guided meditation. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to update on what my week has been like, and that's going to lead into the main topic of today's podcast, which is, and I'm going to give you verbatim of what I've written down on my little cheat sheet kind of thing. The differences between your opinions and facts and why you are as bad as the people you hate. But not really. And I'll get to why, but I just thought I'd give that as a little teaser as I bore you about my week, and then we'll get into discussing what's actually going on. So, my week in a nutshell. Well, it's been a hectic week. We've had some of our kids have been off because they've had their second dose of the jab, and they've been feeling pretty shitty. We've had an outbreak at my other son's school, which meant it was closed. And then my other kid, who's basically the school, I think the school would open even if it was ravaging the community. So that's London schooling in a nutshell. Everyone's just doing whatever the fuck they want, and we just kind of have to play catch up. But it's fine. We respect all institutions and the decisions that they make. We are not those kinds of parents. And it's been a good week out of all of that. Particularly good for myself for a couple of reasons. I have noticed in the last couple of weeks, now for you may know me or may not, if you go and check out my Instagram, which is less than cake, fans of 90s ska punk would appreciate that because it's a riff on my favourite band, which is Less Than Jake. My first son is called Jake, so you can see a running theme. But I am a form... sorry, if I just clipped there. I am a former 40-stone human being. 41-stone human being. It matters, damn it. It's just like the size of men, of anything. I want to add that extra stone in, even though 40 is gargantuan enough. No, 41, actually. Of all the fat fucks, I was the fattest fuck. Well, I wasn't, but... I was the most agile. The most agile 41-stone man that's ever lived. Maybe, possibly. So anyway... And I have, through both hard work and surgical intervention, although chopping my leg off does count for about a kilo or two, the majority of it was through gastric surgery and just sheer kind of brute force and will to be around for my family, I suppose is the best way of putting it. But last March, or last beginning of 2021, during the first lockdown and everything, I noticed that I was putting weight back on, and I was seeing signs of the old me image-wise. So looking at me in photographs, looking at me in the mirror, how clothes were fitting, I was starting to creep back on. And when I joined the gym that I'm at currently, I was about 158 kilos, which is massive, but it's nowhere near what I used to be. So my son and my wife were already at this gym. It's a place called Fight City Gym in Balham. Although they have a site in Moorgate and soon to be one in Elephant Park. They are no way sponsoring this podcast, but I thought I'd put it out there. Because they are, they've got great trainers there, great coaches. Leon Jason and Dina Jason, who have helped all of us monumentally, and cannot thank them enough for all their kind of help with my son's Muay Thai and my wife's kind of confidence and anxiety, and my own confidence and anxiety. They've been a phenomenal force for good. But also former gym members of Laura Basso, and also people like Emmanuel, who still works in, does their strength and conditioning and HIIT classes. So they already went to the gym and were doing really, really well. And then I kind of... saw an advert. They were looking for, you know, the ones you see on YouTube. It's like, we're looking for 12 men to change their life. So I was like, all right, let me do this. So checked it out, went there, enjoyed it, got really into the kind of eating plan, because most of it was done during lockdown. It was only like the last month of the 6 week. No, it's a bit longer than that. I think it was about 2 weeks left out of the whole series of 6 week kind of setup that was done in gym just as gyms reopened after lockdown. So I started off in March, 158 kilos, have been working my ass off. It has not been easy. It has not always been consistent. There have been times where I kind of dropped off, but like I spoke about in my last podcast, The important thing was, it does not matter where you get off, it's the fact that you get back on. As long as you do that, there is no issue. That is a win in my book, and should be a win in your book. Okay, you stopped, but you started again. So get over it. You did well. Gold star. Slap on the back. Firm handshakes. We move on. So, but the last, ever since kind of 2022 kicked in, I was like, right, I'm really going to try and ramp this up. And I've been noticing more and more, I've been getting a stronger core, I haven't been fatiguing as much. And I go like 4 to 5 times a week. So I'll do Muay Thai, I will do strength and conditioning, I will do HIIT. I'm trying, although I may save it for another podcast, but I may talk about my anxieties regarding Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in a moment. But essentially, I'm there a lot. Not as much as my son. My son's there like fucking 7 days or 7 hours to 10 hours a week. The last couple of Mondays, he spent like 3.5 hours there after school, just absolutely grinding. He's a force of nature. And I cannot wait to see what kind of martial artist he becomes. But anyway, dad gushing aside. But yeah, but I'd also, in the background, and the only person that's known about this is Nicola, is that I'd been feeling really shitty about myself in the fact that I wasn't seeing much gains on the scales. And I know that I'm the first one to tell you that you shouldn't pay attention to things like that, but when it's yourself and it leads into the difference between opinions and facts and why you're as bad as the people that you hate, is the fact that I knew the facts, but I dismissed them on the fact of that was the number that was staring me in the face, and at that moment that was the only thing that mattered and concerned me. So I was getting really, I was beating myself up about that, and I was getting really pissed off, even though a couple of days later we did measurements. So Nick has a Bluetooth measuring tape, so you can measure your neck, arms, triceps, biceps, hips, waist, abdomen, the whole 9 yards, and it'll give you a detailed and accurate account. And it showed that we both reduced. We'd lost centimetres across the board, which was fantastic. And Joshua had actually lost 10 centimetres around his fucking waist. Irritating little sod that he is. So I was feeling really good about that. But again, I was just fixating on this number, this you are this, because I'm basically hovering around about 130 to 135 kilos, which from where I started in 10 months is actually, I think, very, very, I'll pat myself on the back. I think it's a fucking good job. But it didn't help the fact that my brain was still broken in that regard, and my anxiety was kind of building up a little bit. And then the weird thing happened, and I can honestly say, in 41 years of being on this planet, it's the first time I've ever done this. But I had Muay Thai yesterday, and I was having a shower, dried myself off, and I just felt different. I don't know why, just something felt different. So I asked Joshua, I'd bought some shorts online, because most of the shorts I have are from when I was much, much bigger. They make me feel very self-conscious and they look ridiculous. They look like I'm fucking about to parasail around the globe. So I asked for these shorts that did not fit me. So I got them before. They were like 2XL, I think they were. And they're supposed to be tight-fitting, so they're not. They're athletic shorts. Although the irony of athletic shorts for morbidly obese people is not lost on me. So I got them and tried them on, and they fit. I was like, wow, they actually fit. I don't feel uncomfortable in these. That's amazing. And then I looked at myself in the mirror. I was only wearing the shorts and boxers and no top. And I looked, and I was like, fuck, I look good. And I've never, not one day. Now, I'm a vain motherfucker. I know I have a nice face, even though it's covered with hair most of the time. But never have I ever, if you want to play that game with me, my hand will be up, I'll be drinking a drink, I'll be doing whatever the forfeit is, I'll be doing that, motherfucker. I have never in my life ever looked at myself in the mirror and gone, hey, you look good. But today, or yesterday, I looked in the mirror and was like, fucking hell, I look really good. So I took a photo. took a selfie. It like instantly turned into like the Instagram fucking fiend that I hate the most. So let me see. So Nicola's done this thing for me, which I love, that to keep me on track. And this is accountable 101. She will take pictures of me. Generally, we're in the same thing and we will compare it, usually 2 to 3 month increments, although ironically, we hadn't done one in a while. And she compared it to my starting pictures, to the picture that I took in, I think it was the 6th of March or 7th of March, just after my son's birthday, 2021. And I could not get over the difference. Staggered the difference. I'll be honest with you. I look fucking phenomenal. And there's no sense of, there is ego involved. Absolutely, there's ego involved because I'm fucking proud of myself. Because I could look in the mirror and I've never in my life. I used to take pictures. I used to have a light, especially in my house, that I would switch on because I knew that a brighter light on my face would black out the rest of me, and like you would only ever see from like the ages of like 19 through to like my 30s. Apart from when I met Nicola and pictures with, so solo pictures up until a point for almost 13, 14 years of my life was headshots only. I refused point blank, would not let anyone take photos of me, or very few, should I say. Some you can't help, but I was incredibly self-conscious about it. Even though I was the happy, jolly fat guy, which will be an episode all of itself of like how we mask pain and suffering with kind of self-deprecation and humour. But, yeah, so I felt phenomenal. I was like, oh, my God, I look fantastic. So it's compared to photos, put it on Facebook, on Instagram, and people were, like, full of praise and it felt good. And I was like, shit, this is what it feels like. And in an infinitely smaller ecosystem, but this is what it feels like when you have all these kind of creators and influencers that take these photos and then get bombarded and lambasted with both hatred and praise. But I was superseded by the fact that I was really proud of myself and really fucking happy. And then it was absolutely ruined by a human interaction. So I will not name any names, but I am going to go through it and I'm going to explain why. So I'm at the gym. I've just done my workout. I've done my Muay Thai session with Dina. I'm absolutely sopping wet. Fat guy sweat. That's all I can say. It happens. And so much so that when Dina kind of gave me like a slap on the shoulder, say, oh, well done, you had a good class. It was like literally like slapping a pond. It was that grotesque. Anyway, so, and I'm panting. I really went out all out for this workout. And somebody that works at the gym came up to me and was like, I need to speak to you. And wanted to speak to me there and then in the middle of the gym in front of everybody. But then, because I was exhausted, I was like, I just kind of looked at her like, what? And she was like, oh, I'll speak to you in a moment. And she had someone else with her, like a new member of staff. So off they trotted. I did my thing, got myself together, and then came through to the front. And then I was confronted with, essentially not been booking. You've been late cancelling classes and or not showing up. But said it in a way that it was completely like there was other members of staff there that did not want to be there. And the fact that I was being berated as a paying customer in front of a new member of staff as if I was the exhibit, like we're in trainings, like I'm going to do a scenario now where I'm going to be a bit of a prick. So me being me, now I have a look. And the look, I know how my face feels when I do this look, but it's very apparent. All my friends and family members, I have this look of confusion and anger. And it's usually a sign for everyone to skedaddle. Case in point, I'll do a very quick example. Before this was my son Jake's first birthday. So first birthday, we went to TGI Fridays. And there was like 9 of us. We went, we had dinner. Dinner was kind of shit because of just the way TGI Fridays was being run there. There was another birthday party and they had decorations and stuff, but we did not. It was just a shit show. And we spent a fuck ton of money there. And then they added like this gargantuan gratuity at the end of it. And I had a problem with this, a big problem with this. And I managed to get it wiped off. I mean, it was a hefty amount. It was almost 200 quid. But I'll never forget it. I'm arguing with the manager and I turn around and my entire family had left. They were all on the opposite side of the window looking in like it was, I was like some sort of like rage exhibit. So yes, I can be confrontational. I do have it in my arsenal. And unfortunately, because of the way I am, I do not give up. I am incredibly difficult to talk to. I openly admit this. Being a former call center manager and being very good at my job, I take that shit seriously. So I'm a fucking nightmare to speak to. Anyway, so going back to the gym, it really took the wind out of myself. It made me feel really shit. Not for nothing though, because I am a disabled person. I'm an amputee, and unfortunately, the reality is, if I had because of the way that my amputation was done, if I had a regular fitting prosthesis, I can't foresee there being much of a problem other than the general problems that that amputees have with regards to kind of wear and tear sometimes and so on and so forth. But I have an incredibly ill-fitting, which actually adds to how proud I was of myself, because only Nicola and my kids really truly know how much I struggle with pain and not being able to sleep because of it and aches and shivers and everything else. It's not fun. I have terrible phantom pain. I have incredible pain from the tibia and fibula not being cut properly and having neuromas. It's a bit of a shit show, but I just put up with it and get through it. But to then and also I've, through doing the workouts, because I'm having to do positions that I generally wouldn't be able to do and bending my prosthesis in ways that it really was not designed to be, I end up hurting myself or rubbing holes in my leg. I've literally rubbed a hole in the back of my knee before because of it, and at the bottom. So I've bled to get through all this, and to have that thrown in my face because occasionally I've had to cancel or late cancel things and I haven't shown up because I'm in incredible amounts of pain really, really pissed me off. So I was going to say in with anger out of love, but it really wasn't like that. It was like in with anger. I was imagining a tortured wonderland of things that I wanted to do to this person. I think I mentioned it to one person, like I wanted to verbally rip her head off and piss in her skull, but it is what it is. I hold no malintent. It's just one of them things. I just take the shit like that very personally. As you should do, really. I think it's being made a show of just to kind of prove a point to somebody. Although the look on their face when they realised, that's the thing, sorry, I didn't even finish the story. I wasn't actually on this list. So I was pulled aside, berated, and then kind of made to stand there like a naughty kid in the fucking principal's office, bearing in mind I'm a paying customer. The fact that I wasn't on this fucking list in the first place, the look on the face will live with me forever in a positive light. But let's get on to the main crux of what I'm talking about today. So as I mentioned before, I was looking at the scales and not seeing the loss that I wanted to, mainly because I'm just putting on muscle. It's the be all and end of it. The way my body's changing at the moment and how strong I feel and my mobility's shifting, it is nothing else than that. I am basically putting on muscle at the same time as losing fat. So I'm getting to a point, although I've still got a lot to go, but I'm going for a transitional point where I'm kind of bulking and cutting at the same time in different ways. So, but me looking at the scale and believing that superseding everything else, even though I know I'd measured myself. So I'm, again, when I harp back to the last episode of having shit for brains, and so do you too, it's kind of the similar thing, but it's It's how we, even facts that are presented in front of us, we will disregard because our brain tells us something differently, or we will purposefully disregard facts, hard facts with evidence and receipts, caught in 4K, whatever the kids say. You cannot deny it, but you still deny it. And that's why I said you're as bad as the people that you hate, because everyone has it. Whether you're left-leaning or right-leaning, if you're on the right side of things and you'll be fictitiously pissed off about the sex of M&Ms or Mr. Potato Head's gender, or fucking whether the woke left is destroying freedom of speech in the Western civilization. Because, you know, I want to protect the right for me to holler at brown and brown people and be a racist fuckhead for all eternity. Or on the other side of things, you may be left-leaning and believe all sorts of mumbo-jumbo about history being whitewashed and X, Y, and Z. So it goes both ways. There are camps in both that are just as ridiculous as each other. But the two that kind of permeate through to the kind of culture, the front of culture in the UK and the United Kingdom, are two things. You have Brexit, and you have, obviously, COVID-19 with the anti-vaxxers. And they're two prime examples. You have two sets of opinions that suit, and what I mean by opinion is it's what people think, not based on fact, not based on anything other than information that they've misread, misrepresented, and then construed a fictitious bubble around it to lay as a foundation to their bullshit. Whether it be that you think it was created in a lab in Wuhan, or whether you believe that it's 5G, or whether you believe that the vaccine gives you magnetic powers, like you're fucking an X-Man all of a sudden, or X-Person, sorry to be... I'll be gender neutral. And the same with Brexit, of looking at the absolute horror of what's happening to families right now, where prices are being driven up on food, on living standards, on energy, on everything. If you are at the lowest point of the breadline in this country, it must be absolutely terrifying, because everything is getting expensive all at once with no sight of stopping, and more importantly, no help from this government. Political rant over. But again, there's fact, hard fact, evidence-based, time-captured facts that are just being overlooked by people that are basically sticking their fingers in their ears at the same time of putting hands over their eyes. And you are doing the exact same thing with your own personal circumstances. You do it every day. I don't care how honest you think you are. I am about as honest as it comes when becoming... I've got a podcast called Accountable, for fuck's sake. Even I will do this. Play this, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Bullshit. Because half of me kind of thinks that sometimes our brain, because we've become so accustomed to having problems, that we kind of seek problems rather than actually celebrating the fact that maybe we don't, our problems are not as problematic as we may think or give them power to be. Case in point, my own anxieties regarding, in actual fact, it's something I completely forgot about and I really wanted to talk about. Thank you, brain. Thank you so much. Becoming obsessed about things that potentially should actually be helping you. Case in point, my Fitbit. So I had a Fitbit Versa, which is basically a smartwatch that tracks your pulse and everything else, because I had really bad anxiety. I was going to the hospital. I was thinking I was having a heart attack, and they essentially was like, well, you're not. You just got anxiety. Your anxiety is what's jacking your heart rate up. And again, I heard these numbers like, if you're over 100 beats per minute, you're officially in the tachycardic range. And it became a obsession of mine. I would have this watch on and I would be heart rate watching constantly. Like, oh, I've not moved. I've been sat here watching telly and my heart rate's 98. My heart rate's 112. It's 113. What in actual fact was happening is I was having a reaction to certain foods like dairy and stuff like that. It can really fuck with you. And actually, and one of the side effects of it is pushing up your heart rate, same as diabetes. Too much sugar, same scenario. But I was constantly, I was there. If I was in a workout, if I was doing strength and conditioning or HIIT, I'd do a set, then look at my heart rate. Do a set, look at my heart rate. Am I near my max? Oh my God, I'm near my max. I might have a heart attack. And that's, it became my focus of staying out of this mythological range of like, as soon as my heart, as soon as it goes, whoa, 99, hang on, 100. Okay, you can die now. And it essentially is as simple as that. Even though I know categorically that is the likelihood of that happening is a billion to one at this stage, and the fact that, like I said in my last podcast, I have got a 100% failure rate of guessing when I'm going to die. I have thought I was going to die a couple of thousand times in the last like 4 or 5 years, and I have not been right once, even remotely once, not even close. And yet I know the facts. I know different levels of cardiovascular, how it works, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, fat people are some of the most knowledgeable people because we do that sort of thing. We get worried about something, we'll do research on it. That's why nutrition, I'm so on it with nutrition, because I've had a lifetime of overindulging and being a gluttonous pig. So you just kind of learn about it. You tend to learn these things. And that's what I mean by equating your opinions versus facts. And I think such a great piece of advice with anything that you're struggling with right now is to literally get a piece of paper, and it's nothing horrible or stressful, so there's no triggering here. You literally write down, what are my problems? And be honest with yourself. Don't just not write something down because you suddenly get a fit of the jitters and go, oh, well, it's a bit menial compared to everyone else. It does not matter. Write it down. And then a subsection under each one of those problems is what can help. And if any of those things are in your control, you concentrate on those. Anything that is not in your control, get rid of them. Because what's the point of you worrying about something that you have absolutely no control over? You are wasting energy. It's like me. I have a fear of death. I've done for years. But what is the point? I know it's going to happen. But what is the point of me even worrying about something I have absolutely no control over? Because all I'm doing is I'm wasting the life that I'm scared of losing in the first place. I'm filling this void, or filling time and effort that should be spent on other things, enriching my life, enriching my kids' life, building memories. And I'm worrying about what's going to happen when I'm not even here anymore, which I have absolutely no control over. And that's why you need to focus on, what can I change? If I've got anxiety, what are the triggers for that anxiety? Well, if it's something like, I don't know, we'll think of something completely trivial. Say, the colour blue. Well, we can do something about that. There are certain things we can do about that. We can not wear blue clothing, or make sure, or recce places to see if there is things that are blue around there, and kind of limit that. But there are certain things that you can't alter in any way, shape or form. So why the hell are you wasting your energy and time on that? Focus on what you can change. And the ironic thing about it is, when you start tackling those things and you log it, you document it, I did this, tick, well done, you've got evidence. Change your mindset, reprogram that brain. I can attack this in incremental parts. Every one bit at a time, one grain of sand at a time, before I knock that sandcastle down. Bit by bit, struggle by struggle, but only focusing on what you have a physical, metaphorical control over. Everything else does not matter, because I guarantee you, once you start building that You start building that foundation, plastering that wall. I know I'm absolutely annihilating you with analogies right now, but it really is taking the attention of those cracks. What can I control? Don't paste over it. Deal with it. But don't deal with it as a whole, because the moment you deal with something as a whole, it gives you an out. You're going to be like, I can't deal with this anymore. And that's why you're going to give up. Don't see it as a whole. Look at it bit by bit. Where's the Achilles heel? Where's the foundation? Let me chip away at that. Mark that as a victory. Document it. Don't care how you document it. Voice memo, writing a letter to yourself, keeping a journal, keeping a diary, doing a video blog, even doing a fucking tick list. Do a smiley face. I don't care. Buy some gold stamps off Amazon. I don't care. But don't overlook your achievements. Don't overlook your struggle, and don't overlook you getting through it. You are worth the effort. Things that you cannot control do not deserve your time. And I am speaking from experience, because I have wasted years worrying about something that I will never beat. But you can beat this. Whatever you're going through, whatever anxiety you're going through, whatever struggle you're going through, stop wasting your time on things that mean nothing. And be honest about it. If there, a part of your problem is that you cannot speak to somebody, yes, you may be able to control that a little bit, but if you truly believe at that moment in time, accountability, if you're at that moment in time and that falls into the category of, well, I can't actually do this, then forget about it. Move on. I have lost contact with friends and family over this entire COVID. I will never get that back, because I cannot control it. And it took the world changing and the country changing and my ability to do things changing for me to realize that, why should I keep sticking my finger in leaks that will never stop? If I cannot control a relationship from my end alone, even with communication and keys and pointers and everything else, then what the fuck am I doing here? You are wasting my time. Get out of my way. I'm moving on. I'm moving forward, and I'm bringing the people that matter with me. And that's my TED Talk. Or that's my podcast, should I say. It's short and sweet, but you know, sometimes that's how it has to be. But thank you for listening. What I'm going to do from the next episode is, at the end, I'm going to do a kind of, or attempt to do, because I've never really done this before, it's just like a couple of minutes of like an affirmation, or just a kind of thing to speak through and help you kind of decompress. May work, it may not. Let me know. But anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Listen back to my other episodes. Follow me on Instagram, Less Than Cake. Say hello. Say, if you do that, then say you came from the Accountable or Accountable. You know why. You know what I'm like. But anyway, till next time, I'll speak to you then. Take care.